from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Oh, good morning, everybody, and a very happy Tuesday to you on ESPN 1320 on the free Odyssey app. And those of you watching us on ESPN 1320 TV, that's twitch.tv/ESPN1320 and youtube.com/ESPN1320. We appreciate everybody for being with us. I think I know why people are getting the commercials on the stream. I will fix that at the break. I can't do it right now, though, unfortunately. Actually, you know what? I can do it right now.
Oh?
Nope, I can't. Sorry, everybody. Good morning. Hello. Hi, James.
Good morning.
How are you?
Everyone's audio sounds funny. That's what they say. That's what the people are saying, Kyle.
Well,
it happens.
I don't know what's happening. It looks okay on this end. You sound okay to me. And that's how we're going to roll forward because we have a radio show to do. A big congratulations, by the way, off the rip. A big congratulations to the Sacramento Kings general manager, Monty McNair, who received one first place vote for executive of the year. That Chris Duarte signing really got somebody going.
It's better than receiving no votes, Kyle.
That's a good point. Maybe somebody felt bad. They were like, man, you know what? I'm not voting Malik Monk for sixth man of the year. I'm not putting Domas or De'Aaron on the All-NBA. I got to give him something. There you go, Monty. Here's his first place vote. Nice job.
Nice
good
job,
work.
Everybody. Good job, everybody.
I was trying to figure out what, like, was that just residual from last year?
I think it's possible someone just had like it saved last year, saved in their computer, and they sent the wrong one in. Like, oh, shoot. Well, I mean, it's only a vote.
Like That would be really fun if just all these people got votes who shouldn't have.
I don't think like he did a horrible job this year, and I, you know, but at the same time, like there are some...
No,
like,
it's not. It's not that he did a horrible job.
Yeah.
It's that usually the executive of the year does things like acquires Jrue Holiday and Kristaps Porzingis and their team wins 66 games or whatever it was.
He did a great
67
job.
67 games. Speaking, Brad Stevens.
Brad Stevens did a great
incredible.
Job and deserved the executive of the year.
He
in
did.
My opinion.
He did. And this is not to say that, like I said, that Monty McNair did a bad job.
No.
It's that he got a first place vote, and I'm not really sure why.
Yeah.
That's all.
That's odd.
He didn't really do anything.
Hey,
but Chris Duarte signing,
The trade for Chris Duarte.
Trade Chris Duarte.
Yep. The JaVale McGee signing.
The JaVale McGee signing, the trade for Chris Duarte, converting Keon Ellis from a two-way to a standard contract.
Yep.
Just a masterful job.
All these things matter. Drafting Colby Jones, they all matter in the end.
That's what it was.
Yep.
They were like, oh, Colby Jones.
They created a...
It was actually me. Yeah. I paid an executive to vote for the Colby Jones pick.
Oh, or a media member.
I thought executives voted on that one.
Oh, maybe. I thought they...
Did I misread this? Stand by. The voting panel for the NBA Basketball Executive of the Year Award consisted of team basketball executives from around the NBA.
Oh, wow. All right.
Maybe somebody just really loves Monty.
You know,
somebody said it was Daryl Morey.
You know what it could be? It could be the trade that he didn't make. Maybe that's why. Somebody's like, you know, I had a deal worked out with Monty, and he said no at the end of the day, and man, that was brilliant to say no. So I'm giving it
I
to
really
him.
Was going to fleece him.
I was going to fleece him. I didn't get to fleece him. Hell of a job. I don't know.
Congratulations to Monty McNair on his one first place vote for executive of the year. It feels like the NBA playoffs are actually going now. Those first two games for all the series to me felt fake.
Okay.
They felt they had just major mid-December energy to me.
I kind of feel like the NBA playoffs now, they don't get started until LeBron James is bounced.
It kind of feels that way, huh?
Yeah, it does.
Kind of feels that way. No, but I think it's a product of something we talked about a lot this year where there's the Celtics in the East, but even the Nuggets. Like we've talked a lot about the Nuggets and how dominant we think they are in kind of their own little different way.
Yeah.
But in the West, it's not... I right now, based on how it looks, it's like, man, there's not a team that... Outside of the Nuggets that you're like, yes, for sure, that team is going to challenge Denver. And then in the East, same deal. There's the league was very top heavy this year. And then you had all these other teams where, yeah, they're good, pretty good, unproven in the playoffs still. Not really sure what you're going to get night to night, like Dallas or the Clippers or the Knicks or the Sixers. That's just kind of how... The playoffs are shaking out to me where I can't really get a grasp on, okay, this is the matchup. Like, I'm really excited to watch OKC and Denver. Or Minnesota and Denver.
Yeah.
Minnesota and Denver.
No, me too.
Okay.
No. It should be
I said that and it sounded wrong to me.
OKC should be the 3 seed. So it would be OKC and Denver in round 2. It's gonna be Minnesota versus Dallas or Los Angeles.
Yes. Okay, that's right.
Yeah.
And so one plays two?
No, two plays three. Who's the one?
So it'll be...
Minnesota's the one.
Yes, so it's going to be Denver, Minnesota.
Denver...
OKC is the one.
Oh, OKC is
the
Minnesota,
one. Minnesota, Denver.
Oh, yeah.
Minnesota,
my bad. Denver. My bad. Boy, we're all over the place.
I was, dude. Oklahoma City and Denver were tied
until the last day.
And Minnesota was a game back.
Hey, I think that Denver-Minnesota series is going to be a lot of fun.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then it doesn't matter who makes it through between the Clippers and...
Dallas.
And Dallas. Whoever makes it through, it's going to be like the seasoned veteran team versus the young upstart team. And it's going to be like the ISO ball versus like team basketball, physical team basketball with the young guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, it should be fun. Like the dynamic of like just... completely different styles of play.
I'll tell you what. I know that the Pelicans Thunder series is a sore subject for some Kings fans.
Yep.
They were talking about it on D'Lo and Casey. There were a bunch of people who were like, I'm not even watching that series. I don't want any part of it. And I don't get it, but I always say fan how you want a fan. I'm not going to judge. I don't quite get it. Oklahoma City looked really freaking good though, man.
And yes.
Maybe that was a product of the Pelicans knowing that as long as Zion was out, they weren't going very far, and so they kind of mailed it in. But it just felt like after that first game, they just got punked.
You know what, though? The Pelicans have no excuse. They've played for months without Zion.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, they always play without Zion.
But that's what I'm saying is I kind of got it when we went into the playoffs going, hey, that Thunder series, that's the team everybody wants. That's the team every team in the bottom wants OKC because they've never been there before. Watch out. The Pelicans going to give them a series. Oh, look at that. First game, down to the wire. Hey, this is the same. And then the Thunder just boat race. I'm like, maybe Sacramento didn't want the Thunder. Like, maybe it wouldn't have been this super easy series where they just got him out of here and they're moving on to the second round. That's all. I was in that same boat. I'm going, man, they would have, but looking at how well OKC played, I was super, super impressed.
Well, I wouldn't have thought that the Kings were going to just outright win that series. I just thought it would be a good series. Like, sure. I don't think it would be a 4-0 sweep like what we just saw.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe we're wrong. Maybe that's exactly what would have happened. But I got to be honest, man. Like, the Pelicans losing.
They just have no juice.
Well, they got no juice, but they just got exposed again for like, yeah, you can beat the Kings for some reason. It's like, so whatever weird. That reason is, you can beat the Kings. And then the Kings can beat Denver. They can beat OKC. They can beat Minnesota. They just can't beat you. And then you get to the playoffs, and it's like, where do you go from here if you're New Orleans?
I have no idea.
Your team is just not built to win. So how do you get through? And you can't say, well, maybe next year with Zion. No, there is. And that's why if I'm them.
You can't bank on that.
I'm out. I'm out on him. I want him gone. I don't care how much talent he has. I don't care what the promise is. Just like, man, you can't stay healthy at all. Let that be somebody else's problem.
And yeah, man.
I think you could still get a lot for him.
I think you could too, but you have to do it now.
Yeah.
And that's the thing is, if they do that, I get there's so much at play when it comes to decisions like that, right? We were just talking before the show. Scott Osler in the San Francisco Chronicle wrote that the Warriors need to consider trading Steph Curry.
Yeah.
And I get the argument from a pure, like, let's eliminate fan sentiment and let's just talk pure basketball.
Mm-hmm.
What the Warriors could receive for Steph Curry in a trade, and this will come back to Zion, hang on. What the Warriors could receive for Steph Curry in a trade would likely benefit them over the next 6 or 7 years more than Steph Curry will.
Oh, heck yeah.
From a pure on-the-court basketball perspective. But, okay, now let's bring the fan sentiment into this. There would be riots if the Warriors traded Steph Curry. That goes into the decision-making process that these front offices are looking at. That's the same thing with Zion. Like, they're not... I think they're still looking at Zion like, man, if we trade this guy... Who fans are looking at that series and going, man, if we only had Zion, look at the hay we could have made. And I think that's a really, really, that would be a really tough sell unless you're getting like a really good player back or multiple really good players back.
I'm doing it though.
The bigger problem, dude, I'm moving Brandon Ingram too. I'm out. I'm done with Brandon Ingram.
But what if the Kings go and get Brandon Ingram?
I'm still out.
Okay.
I don't want him.
All right.
Lou Dort's a really good player. I like Lou Dort very much. Especially, did you know he shot like 40% from three this year?
Oh, yeah.
He has turned into a damn good player.
Oh, yeah.
But Brandon Ingram in that series, 12 points on 5 of 17, 18 points on 5 of 10, 19 points on 7 of 14. Okay, that's fine. Last night, elimination game at home. 2 of 14 from the field, 0 for 3 from beyond the arc, 4 of 6 from the free throw line, scored 8 points. Ooh. He was a plus 1 in game 1, minus 30 in game 2, a minus 12 in game 3, and a minus 3 in game 4. I just don't, I don't see it. I don't.
Hmm.
And maybe in Sacramento where he's the number 2 scoring option and there's all this movement and stuff in the offense, great. But I don't. When it comes to, hey, get him the ball and let him ISO and go score, I don't reliably see it. And that's kind of what I think the Kings need offensively is, okay, offense is bogged down a little bit. We need to go get the ball to somebody on the perimeter and let him create.
Okay.
And like sometimes because late in the shot clock, sometimes you just kind of need that.
Of course.
So, or final 3 minutes of a game, you just need, okay, De'Aaron is not going for him tonight. Who's the second option? And maybe Brandon Ingram would thrive in that role, but man.
I'm not totally out on Ingram. I'm out on Zion.
Sure.
And I'm out on Zion because he's just Larry Johnson. Like, that's what he is. He's grandmama. He's a dude that just
Space Jam legend.
Will never, ever, ever stay healthy. And when he is, it's just so amazing to watch, but that he's just not. And there, you can't rely on it. You can rely on it 2 minutes left in the game or 90 seconds left in a game, whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
And a play-in.
I'm like.
He had the healthiest year of his career.
Yeah.
and still couldn't get through a playoff series. But look, Chris Paul kept getting contracts. Zion, as long as he's...
Yeah, but Chris Paul, yeah.
Every team, we can fix him.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. All right, we'll continue talking about this. We're going to talk about the playoffs, but then we're also going to spin the Sacramento Kings into this. Where they stand in the West, how they can actually build their team going forward, the idea of pushing all in for this season or next season. We will dive into all of that today on the Insiders. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen, and we're hanging out with you until noon on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Hey, everybody. Sorry to the stream. We're having a technical issue. I think I know what it is. I'm going to need to go fix it, though, and I will do so at the break.
Okay.
So, fix it. Sorry in the meantime, everybody.
All right.
Appreciate you hanging in there. Appreciate you hanging with us. Twitch.tv/ESPN1320, YouTube.com/ESPN1320. This is fine. It's all fine. It's whatever. I'm a mess. This is why typically you have more than two people do a radio show. So when there's technical problems, a person in who doesn't have to be on air talking can try and troubleshoot it.
Yeah.
Alas, this is what we're working with.
I feel for you in these moments because it takes you out of the frame of mind. I've talked to you about this in the past about how like when you're doing a live hit on TV and there's just absolutely nothing worse than staring into a camera and like being super focused and everything is going perfectly well and then someone drops a chair next to you and it like snaps you out of what you're doing and you don't know where to go. And then it's like, oh no, you might as well just go to commercial break now because I'm shot. Like, I don't know what to say. I'm stammering. I'm all over the place. And so that's why I in these moments, I always feel for Kyle because he's got two responsibilities here, running a show, number one, number two, helping do all the board. You think you got it?
I hope so.
All right.
If not, there's one more troubleshooting step I can take in there, but I think we're good for now.
I think someone said, yep, Kyle fixed it. Thanks.
Did
to
I?
Castaneda.
Come on.
Audio fixed.
Come on.
Yes.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go. Applause for Kyle. Air horns for Kyle. Come on.
Kyle saves the day.
It's ridiculous, and we're tired of it.
Okay. Well, we didn't need all that. We're back. We're back. That's James out here. We're just going to redo this whole thing.
Let's just start
here
over.
Here we go. Let's see. What song just played?
I don't know.
Which one was that? I know which one it was. I can't find it, but we're
Kyle
just going to play.
Winner.
Oh, there it was. I found it. Here we go. Sorry, stream. I got to take this off for you guys. There we go.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
NBA playoffs rolling along. The Sacramento Kings offseason rolling along as well. We will continue talking about that, of course, throughout the summer. But today or yesterday, we were kind of just talking about the NBA playoffs and just kind of where the Kings stand. And we pre-show yesterday got into a discussion about what this offseason looks like for Sacramento. And I think one of the complicating factors here is when you look at this postseason, and you look at Denver. Mm-hmm. Denver's going to be around, at least for the next couple years. At least you think. I got questions about Jamal Murray health-wise. I have no questions about Jamal Murray the player.
No,
he is ridiculous.
Well, I mean, he's becoming like a big shot Bob, but like a scoring like all night long. Yeah.
I don't know what to do with Jamal Murray. We've talked about this before. I don't know what to do with him.
Yeah, because he's not an all-star.
He never made an all-star team.
And I don't think he will. I don't know.
He feels like if they win a title this year, he's going to get an all-star nod next year as a like, hey, shout out to you.
Yeah.
But yeah, when you go look at his numbers this year, 21.2 a game. He shoots 42.5% from three. shot 48% from the field. Jesus. But 4 boards, 6 assists. And when you just look at those traditional numbers, 21.2, 4.1 boards, 6.5 assists. Like, that's a good player.
Yeah.
That's a solid player. But then you get into the postseason, and he averages 24, 5, and 7. For his career, he's at 25 points a game in the playoffs. Hits every big shot last night. Every shot that they needed from him down the stretch last night went in.
Yeah.
And man, just, I am consistently blown away by him.
It's crazy, man. He's not even in the top 20 in NBA scores. You know, he like for the season, for the regular season. And then you get into the playoffs and he's just so good.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know. I mean, at the end of the day, if you want to be an all-star, you got to show that you can do it more than just playoffs. But that still doesn't take away from how good he is. He's 31 in the league in scoring on the season.
That's
31st.
Man. But gets into the playoffs, he's just a dog.
I don't get it, you know?
Like, he's the opposite of a player like... What's the opposite? It's the criticism of Domas, right?
Oh, yeah.
He didn't have a huge playoff series. So what? For LeBron, still to this day, LeBron has 4 titles. But he's like, well, he's lost 6 times in the finals. So how good of it? You know, does he have the clutch gene? Is he a playoff performer? Huh? It's like guys like that get, but Jamal Murray has the opposite.
Oh, yeah.
Where he's just that much better in the postseason.
No, he just rises to the level. And I don't feel like he's like. He hasn't like reserved himself for the playoffs. That's not what I feel like. I just feel like he's a big game player.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. You know, yeah. Like he'll go through his career and he'll probably, I mean, if they win a couple of titles and he's right up there at the top and he just keeps doing this,
mm-hmm.
he might have a shot to make the Hall without making an all-star team.
That would be wild.
Is that crazy though? Like how do you manage it? I mean, if you're 31st in the league in scoring, like, there are so many good players.
A lot of good players.
Like, well, we talked about the top 19 scorers in the NBA made the All-Star team, except for De'Aaron Fox, who was, like, number 9 or 10 at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everyone else made it. Yeah. He's 12 down below that list.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Like, what are you supposed to do? Like, it's tough.
I kind of wonder what his numbers would look like if he didn't play with Nikola Jokic.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good point.
Not that because he and Jokic as a duo are ridiculous, right?
Yeah.
But you just look at the volume of shots that Jokic takes, the way he distributes is not just, oh, let me find Jamal Murray. Like, they got their little pick and roll thing for sure, but there's a lot of Jokic in the high post, you know, spraying out to shooter, spraying the hot guys.
Yep.
There's a lot of that as well, where Jamal Murray for his career the last 2 playoff runs, 20.5 field goal attempts a game, and this season in the 4 games against the Lakers, 24 shot attempts a game. In the regular season, 17 shots a game.
That's wild.
He takes 7 more shots a game in the playoffs.
That's crazy. I will say it's not just Jokic, though, because they're quietly becoming a you-got-to-shut-the-faucet-off team, like, right? So Michael Porter Jr. was absolutely tremendous in the series as well.
Really good.
And there was a point where he just carried him. Mm-hmm. Then you got to try to shut out that faucet. And then once you do, then Jamal Murray springs loose. And you're like, okay. I mean, Porter Jr. is averaging, for the series, 22.8, 8.4 rebounds.
He averaged 23 a game.
22.8 for the series, yeah. And he scored in 20 in all but one. In that game, he scored 19.
Man.
He shot 48.8% from three on 8.2 attempts per game. Yeah, man, realistically, like I think this team is built for the playoffs as long as they don't have a major injury, and that's what Jamal Murray is, like an injury waiting to happen. That's what sucks. You know, even this game, he was totally questionable.
Yeah, he had the knee thing, and then there was a layup he hit late in the game where he walked away kind of holding his leg.
He had a calf injury. Like they said, I think he had a calf strain, and he got emotional after the game. He said, yeah, I didn't think I was going to be able to go, but then I'm like, hey, I'm not missing this game. we need to close these guys out. I'm not missing it. And then to have him be the guy who comes up with the big shot late.
Yeah. And on top of all that, on top of Jamal Murray, on top of Michael Porter Jr., you have Nikola Jokic quietly 28, 16, and 10 for the series.
Yeah.
In a series against Anthony Davis, who's going to be a defensive player of the year candidate.
Yeah. And who got hurt again, like always.
That was bizarre, dude.
He got a stinger.
That was a weird... I get how that can... I was expecting that he fell and like caught himself weird, but no, he just kind of, that wasn't even a strange basketball play. It was just two guys trying to get in position.
Yeah, it wasn't even like a vicious hit. Weird. Yeah, he just hit it the wrong way, man.
Really weird. Really, really weird.
Yeah, right. Wild.
We got sidetracked by the technical difficulties, but we will be back on track. Let's talk about the Kings, and we're going to spin all this talk about the Western Conference into our chat about the Kings rebuild. That's coming up next on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. People on the stream, I hope you don't hear this.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Okay, so all this talk about TV rights. NBC, apparently, you were saying at the break, is bidding.
Yeah, the report yesterday is $2.5 billion a season. A season.
So does that mean the salary cap would, like, skyrocket?
Could triple. Yeah, because I think that...
Over the lifetime of the deal?
No, because most people think that the new television deal is going to, like, double or even triple. And so, since the players get 50% right. of basketball, or 51%, whatever it is, a basketball-related income, they're going to get that... That will push the salary cap up that much. So, yeah, it could easily go up... Could easily be well over $200 million in like two or three seasons. Yeah, this is going to get wild.
Holy smokes!
Yeah,
man.
So players like De'Aaron Fox are probably going to wait around and say, "Hey, yeah, I want to see what the dollar looks like, because $80 million a year sounds good to him." but also, guys like Sabonis, his contract that looks, you know, large right now, yeah. which is like close to 30% of the cap, mm-hmm. it could drop to like 18% of the cap or 16% of the cap.
Man.
Yeah. So like we're talking crazy money, and good for the players. Good for everybody. Yeah. Because if you're making, the players are making 51%, that means that the owners are making 49%.
And good for us, because do you know what NBC having the NBA rights would mean?
Oh, yeah, let's hear it. Round ball rock.
Come on. I don't know if we're going to get in trouble on the stream for this. I hope not. Basketball's going to bat it down. That's going to bat. I'm going to dunk it.
John Tesh.
I need it in my life. That's I need right. it in my life so bad. Amazing. Can we get Bob Costas on the calls? I'm joking. I'm joking. That'd be incredible. No, would love to see that for the NBA. Would love to have the NBA on NBC back.
Yeah.
It'd be amazing. Seeing the salary cap and player salaries skyrocket as a result would be incredible. All of that kind of fits into what we're going to talk about, though.
Yeah.
In how the Kings build this thing moving forward. Because for me, there's the biggest
obstacle.
Obstacle. The biggest problem for me is where the Kings are at team building wise, with the age of their two stars, what they need to get that core, their Keegan Murray, De'Aaron Fox, mm-hmm. Domantas Sabonis core, getting that team up to a championship level. And then you look at Oklahoma City. And you look at Minnesota, and you look at Denver, and if you want, you can look at Dallas. If you want, I guess Houston. I'm going to leave Houston out of this. I'm going to leave Dallas out of it as well. Just those three teams. Conceivably, they're going to be around.
Yeah.
So not only do the Kings have this hurdle of, okay, in the next, because you have what? I don't know, players age a little differently now, but what, three, four years of prime Fox and Sabonis left?
Oh, no.
Five?
I'd say six.
Six?
Yeah, because Sabonis is 27 going on 28.
Turns 28 in like 8 days, right?
Okay, so we got 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33. I think 6 years.
Okay.
I mean, he's not an above the rim player, so.
Sure.
I think he'll be able to hold up, and even maybe 3 years after that, be a reasonably mm-hmm. impactful player.
Sure.
You know, like better than like the impact that we're seeing from maybe like an Al Horford.
Yeah.
Like 34, 35, 36.
Sure. Horford with his weird ass jump shot.
That goes in.
Every single time Al Horford shoots, I'm like, good possession, good defensive possession, and then he cashes it.
Yeah.
Every time. It's outrageous. So that's kind of what I look at. As, okay, this is the timeline they're working with. This isn't a team full of 21 and 22-year-olds.
Nope.
So there's a little bit of urgency here.
Well, there should be.
And my question is at what point do you say, screw this methodic build? Because I think when you're trying to compare the Kings and Nuggets, that to me is where the more direct comparison is going to lie. Because trying to match what the Nuggets are doing player for player is going to be really, really tough.
Of course.
Aaron Gordon is very unique, I think, in what he does. Nikola Jokic, very, very unique in what he does. Jamal Murray is whatever Jamal Murray is.
Yeah.
really good player, but excellent playoff player. Like matching a player for player is really tough. So I think what the Kings can do here is you had this really methodical build by the Nuggets, and you had these early playoff exits, but they're winning 45 plus games every single year, and they're going to the playoffs. They win in a series, maybe two, and then everything kind of peaked for them. But they have this rock solid starting five that they know and love, and then they're going to supplement those guys with your Christian Browns,
Yeah.
With your
Kentavious Caldwell Pope
and Watkins, your Reggie Jacksons.
Peyton Watson.
Yeah.
Peyton Watson.
So you get, you're right. You can just kind of supplement these guys. So when you lose a Jeff Green, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
Right. So that's the way I think the Kings can follow the Nuggets path, is finding that rock solid starting five that, you know, hey, 5-point game late, 5 minutes left, down five, you know that the offensive execution is going to be there. You have a defensive foundation you believe in to get stops, and you just become that kind of inevitable machine that we have talked about time and time again.
Mm-hmm.
My concern is that's really hard to do in 5 or 6 years, given what the Kings have to work with.
Okay, so I think a couple of things. Number one, like, the Kings have options to build, right?
Okay.
Like, we want to say, oh, they're limited in what they can do. And, I mean, maybe there's a little bit of limitations on a team like the Kings. But at the same time, I think they do have pieces that are movable. And the new CBA that's, like, fully going into effect, like, this summer, it has all kinds of rule changes that are different than the previous CBAs. And those, most of those rules are extremely advantageous to a team like the Kings. And it's not like it was written for the Kings, but it almost like maybe it was, right?
Mm.
So there's a couple of rules like your exceptions, your mid-level exception, your biannual exception. So your mid-level exception this year is a little over $12.8 million. And it can be for up to 4 years, right? So the mid-level exception, you can sign a player for that. You can break it up into multiple players. But the new CBA also allows you to do something wild and crazy. You can actually trade using that as basically almost like a trade exception. So as long as a player's contract fits into the years of the mid-level exception, which is up to 4 years, you can take on a player. It can't go over. You can't aggregate. So that means you can't add
two-year contracts into a four-year.
Well, no, what I mean is you can't trade a player and a mid-level exception and come up with some larger figure. Mm. But let's say a player like Jared Vanderbilt, right? Jared Vanderbilt signed a deal that I think next year he makes $11 million, and he, okay, or maybe 10.7, and he's under contract for 4 years. The Kings can literally go to the Lakers and say, hey, we'll take on Vanderbilt and give you for the mid-level exception. We'll accept him into our mid-level. And so you can actually trade for a player into your mid-level exception, which has never been the case.
Right. You used to have to sign a player.
You used to have to sign a player. So okay, you can do both now. You can either sign or you can just trade a player into, mm-hmm, it. So that's huge, because yeah, a team like the Kings, who have always had problems finding free agents, now have this other option like, hey, this player, number one, he had injury issues. Number two, he didn't really work out for you. Mm-hmm. Would you like to get rid of him and like open up salary for yourself?
Mm-hmm.
And the Lakers might say, yeah, okay, maybe we'll do that for a second round pick.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then you bring in a young, like 25-year-old, like 6'9", long wingspan, defensive minded, mm-hmm, power forward that maybe could really help your team, right? Mm-hmm. But there's also, you know, look around the league, and there are players that fit into this mold that are not break the bank guys. They're not 30 or 40 million. They're not 50 million. They're not even like 17, 18, like the Harrison Barnes or the Kevin Herters of the world. They fit into this different mold. So again, like I don't know that Milwaukee is going to move on from Bobby Portis, but Bobby Portis might be the most perfect fit for the Sacramento Kings we've ever seen at the power forward position, playing next to Domantas Sabonis. He can block shots, he can rebound, he can hit the three ball, and he doesn't mind punching somebody in the face.
Yeah, he's a dog.
He is a dog. He can be a little screw loose crazy, but at the same time,
sure,
like, why not? So if you're the Kings, you can make sort of these moves that you couldn't make before. The same thing with the, go ahead.
And I think one of the things that you immediately think is, well, why would a team do that? Why would Milwaukee do that? Why would the Lakers do that? And it's because now it's even more expensive to have an expensive team.
Yes.
With the way
the new CBA
is set up.
Yeah. So if you have your first apron and then you have your second apron, if right, you're a repeat offender on the second apron,
you start losing draft picks.
They freeze your draft picks.
Yes.
You don't get your draft picks.
So if you're a team like the Lakers, like the Warriors,
yeah,
where you have these very expensive contracts or these very expensive rosters.
Yes.
And you're looking and you're going, this is maybe a first round playoff team. It's definitely not a championship contender.
Yep.
You're going to be looking to offload some money.
No, totally. I think there's a lot of teams around the league, yes, that are going to be looking to offload, yes, some money. And typically the only one that can take on that money is, like, realistically, it's always Oklahoma City Thunder who take your first round pick.
Sure.
And they take your player and they save you money.
Yeah.
Right. Well, now there's going to be more teams because anyone who's under the luxury tax has the MLE, the mid-level exception, to work with. Now, the Kings also have what's called the biannual exception, which is a shorter one. It's a lower dollar one. I think it's $4.6 million. But again, as long as the biannual exception can only be for 2 years. Mm-hmm. So you can trade for a player who's making $4 million, but has 2 years left on his deal and move off of that contract. The Kings could accept a player like that. So on top of that, there's all of the new rules for, like, how much money you can take back in a trade. So now any player, I think it's under $10 million, you double their salary. You can double their salary in return. So the Kings can trade a $6 million player.
Chris Duarte.
For up to a $12 million contract. Okay? Now, but this you can aggregate. So let's say that you have two $6 million players.
Let's just say Chris Duarte and Davion Mitchell.
Just make up players, right? So you have $12 million in salary cap space, in salary right mm-hmm. there. You can trade for up to $24 million in salary.
Mm-hmm.
So that's huge.
Yes.
On top of that, players who are making over $10 million, like there's a window way up higher.
I'm going to make up a player while you're talking.
Okay. Let's say someone makes $17 or $18 million a year.
And let's name that player Harrison Barnes.
Okay.
Just give him two last names.
Just two last names. Okay. A player like that,
sure.
The new CBA rules allow for you, it used to be 20 or 25% of their contract, you could go up or down, right? So
sure.
if you had a $20 million player, you could take up to a $25 million player back.
Okay.
The league has stripped that down and said, hey, any player over X amount of dollars, over $10 million in trade, you can take up to $10 million more than their salary back.
So in a $17 million deal, you could take back $27
million. Yes.
Okay.
And then let's just say...
Now, does that aggregate where if you have...
Yes.
I'm going to pick another. Just like...
A $6 million.
I was going to say another player in that $17 million range. Let's call him Kevin Huerter.
Okay.
Let's just picking names. Can you then... You're now combining those two, so now you're at $34 million.
Yep.
You can take back $44 million?
Yes. No. More.
It's $10 million on each.
$10 million over on each.
So $54 million?
Yeah. So like, look, there are these avenues. So there's conceivably a way, Kyle. Like,
oh my God.
There is conceivably a way where you could trade two $6 million players
mm-hmm.
to a team for a $24 million player. And then in that same breath, you could take another contract that they're trying to move off of, like a $13 million player, mm-hmm. into your mid-level. And so basically you could trade $12 million and come away with $34, $35 million in contract back. Now look, you still have to live in the same world they do.
Mm-hmm.
So what you can't do is do all of that and think that you're going to be okay salary cap wise.
Right, right.
But you can save another team tens of millions of dollars in luxury tax. Mm-hmm. Again, like the Golden State Warriors paid, they were going to be on the hook for $186 million in luxury tax.
Just in luxury tax.
And then someone took on Corey Joseph's like $3 million deal, and that saved them like $18 million or something.
It was so much money.
It was so much money. And that's what we're talking about. What they're trying to do, the NBA is trying to balance out all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's good. Like the Kings aren't hamstrung. Like they can go out here and make moves, mm-hmm. and player contracts actually look more valuable at this point. So mm-hmm. again, we're talking about players like Huerter or Harrison Barnes. Like they're 12-13% of the salary cap.
Mm-hmm.
They're not some obscene number.
Right.
I know people look at that number and say, oh my gosh, I can't believe he makes $17 million. It's $17 million with the salary cap at $141 million. It's not $17 million when the salary cap's at $58 million when I first started covering the league in 2010.
Right.
Like the minimum you could spend was $58 million. And that's what the Maloofs would trade for injured guys to get to $58
million right.
and live at that range. The money is crazy now.
Sure.
And so $5 million players, like the old mid-level exception player, they might be the $12 million player, but it's really they're closer to like this other number, this mm-hmm. $17, $18 million player mm-hmm. that used to be what would be considered, like when the Kings signed Sharif Abdul-Rahim, mm-hmm. that was for like a, I think they gave him a 5-year, $25 million deal,
mm-hmm.
$5 million a year. That's when the cap is, you know, at $58 million. It's roughly 12% of the cap.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing. It's just now the players are making so much money because of television deals and all this other stuff. So I think it's interesting. I think it's just giving the Kings more ways in which they can they can go out and help themselves in a market.
And it increases the value because one of the things I was skeptical of was the value that Kevin Huerter and Harrison Barnes would have on the trade market. Not to say that a team wouldn't like to have a veteran like Harrison Barnes who can play multiple positions, he can knock down a three.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Huerter, of course, when he's rolling, is one of the deadliest three-point shooters in the league. Even after a down year, there would be teams that are willing to take that on, but it's like, for what? What are the Kings going to get back? But now, with this, where it's saving a team money, those players are good enough, Harrison Barnes and Kevin Huerter specifically,
mm-hmm.
that a team that is in cap hell could talk themselves into, okay, we're going to get off this big contract, but we can remain competitive because this is a rotation player. This is a starting caliber player. This is a I think there are a ton of teams out there who are going to be able to talk themselves into that kind of deal where, yeah, hey, we're saving money, but also it's not like we're taking back nothing.
Well, that and I think it also, if you start aggregating these salaries, right, you start adding up, like you take a $6 million and a $17 million, and all of a sudden you can take back like 39 million?
Yeah.
For like $23 million in salary. That means that the other team, number one, they're not having to take back like six players to make a deal like that.
Mm-hmm.
That which is even last season, like we were talking about, how do you get to the money for a guy like Pascal Siakam?
Yeah.
Well, it's very complicated.
A lot of dudes.
Yeah, it would have taken at least, well, it could have taken two of your starters, or it could take now, it could take one of those starters and one mm-hmm. of your $6 million range guys.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of an interesting thing where I think that there's a lot of like movement here, and there could be a lot of movement here in this offseason. But also, you can move off of a player who just might not be fitting what you're doing. And the fact that the Kings have $6 million players that can be traded for $12 million players, and those $6 million players are on expiring contracts,
mm-hmm.
and you can take back, you know, long-term deals on those, that might really be like appealing to somebody out there on the open market. The other thing is, I know we've like talked about the 13th pick in the draft like so much, right?
Mm-hmm.
And how like the Kings were probably better off if that pick went to Atlanta. That's true, most likely, because this isn't a great draft. But this isn't a great draft at the top. And so just going to put it out there, like the 13th pick in this year's draft is very similar to any other draft. Like, there are really good players in the 10 to 20 range in this draft,
mm-hmm.
just like there are every single year. Like, there just aren't, there isn't a, like, bona fide star, bona fide number one pick at the top.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the top 10 is a little sketch, right? But there's still going to be teams that fall in love with a player. It happens mm-hmm. every year, right?
Every single year.
Yeah. And so we always talk about this, like, hey, man, would the Kings, what do they have to trade, right, if they don't have their draft picks? And I think the argument could be made that the 13th pick in the draft is better than offering up, like, your, if you wouldn't have had it, it would be better than offering up, like, a 2025 pick that could be in the 20s.
Sure.
Because, like, if you're able to make some moves mm-hmm. and get better, this team very easily could be right back where they were last year, where they're the 24th pick in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
And so people are looking like, well, your pick isn't really that good.
Sure.
Like, it's so now what you have to offer is a lottery pick,
mm-hmm.
which is good. I mean, some team could mm-hmm. go, okay, like, look, I'll take that lottery pick.
Especially a team that's looking to shed salary and get cheaper.
Yeah. Well, that in this year's draft, again, there are going to be some teams that are like, I don't want to trade into the first round. I'm good. But there are going to be other teams who are like, no, but there's a player I want right there at number 13, and I would take him. So I don't think you're totally hamstrung. I think you can trade that pick. I think you can trade it for another future first-round pick. And let's say you pick up a 2026 first-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then the Stepien rule no longer applies to some of your other draft picks.
Right.
So you can trade your 27. You can trade your 29. Like, all of these things kind of, like, they work together. As mm-hmm. long as you have a pick mm-hmm. in a draft, then you don't have to worry about the Stepien rule. So, like, I think that the Kings, we want to act like it's all doom and gloom. But realistically, there are plenty of ways for this team to reinvent themselves during this offseason. And some of that could mean, like, you trade a couple of players that, like, maybe didn't work out. But there's also this other thing that we talk about all the time on here, where how much different would Kevin Huerter look next to, again, a guy like Keon Ellis and a guy like Jared Vanderbilt coming off the
sure.
bench? Like, if you can mask,
take some of the defensive onus off of it.
Yeah, if you can mask some of the deficiencies, the mm-hmm. defensive deficiencies of a player, and let him get back to focusing on being a three-point shooter and sort of that aspect of his game, like, maybe it does work. Maybe you can fortify different positions on this team and make individual players better. Because we saw it with Keon Ellis in the mm-hmm. starting lineup. All of a sudden, the Kings weren't a bad defensive team anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You had one player swapped out. Now, what if you support the other players in a different way and you bring in the players that maybe you should have brought in before, mm-hmm. but now you're looking at it like with eyes open, like, okay, I know I have to fill this, this, and this. Now, let me have like six players out there that I think would fill this void and this void and see if I can go get one of those players using all of these mechanisms that we have in place now in the CBA.
All right. Party on.
I don't know. I think
I just want to go on record right now. I'm out on Jared Vanderbilt.
Okay, that's,
I'm just out.
That's fine.
I know that was just a name that you just pulled out, but
yeah,
I'm out on Jared Vanderbilt.
Well, and I'll tell you, like, one of the reasons why I would be sort of in on Jared Vanderbilt. Number mm-hmm. one, he's 25.
Sure.
And he has had, like, he had injury issues this year.
Yeah.
But he's long. He's athletic. He's defensive minded. Multi-positional defender.
Mm-hmm.
He's developing as like a shooter and stuff like that. But
he's an offensive liability.
He is, but on a team that only needs someone in the dunker spot, I don't know that that's that big of a deal.
Good point.
And then on top of that, like, he's very, very close with De'Aaron Fox.
Mm.
So, like, they're Houston guys. They're,
is that the new team building strategy?
Well,
worked with Malik Monk.
Yeah, it did.
He's just going to maximize De'Aaron Fox's buddies when he pulls up?
Yeah, that's right.
I'm in. Why not?
It seems like De'Aaron Fox's buddies know how to play basketball better than LeBron James's buddies. So I'm in.
Yeah, you know what? Good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point. All right. I have a question that we did not get to that is not salary cap related.
Okay.
That I think is also very important to this Kings offseason. We'll talk about what it is next on The Insiders, second hour coming up on ESPN 1320.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.